Chris Perrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad city, broken into bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. People dress in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this ties are tattered, my brain is splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS is our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money if you switch to Geico like Carver Hyde did. He went to Geico.com, simple as that, and in 15 minutes, he saved 15% on his car insurance, and it made him very happy. Brad Gagneau will join us from Bleacher Report at 40 past this hour. NFL writer, we'll talk about pain day yesterday. It was painful for me. And then at 11 Eastern, Tim Brando, the governor, is joining us tonight on the bench. Doesn't get any better than that. Live, the Monday Nighter in Santa Clara. The Niners holding onto a 10-7 lead. The Seahawks had a chance to score right before the half. The guy fumbled at the one-yard line. San Francisco stripped him of the ball and recovered, and that was that. 10-7. I think the Niners are on the move right now. They're deep in Seattle's end. They might have maybe a timeout or something going on here. No? Oh, no, they got the ball back, Seattle. What happened there? I thought they were deep. Did they miss a field goal or something? I don't know. There you go. 10-7. Seattle has the ball. Yesterday around the league, the Vikings went into Dallas and got a big win. The Steelers, that was really surprising to me that they beat the Rams. I'm now residing to the fact that the Rams are average at best. They have fallen off the Super Bowl wagon, and they can't score. Their offense doesn't move the ball. They didn't throw one pass complete to Cooper Kupp all day. And you know when that recipe is happening, it's disaster. And the Steelers' defense shut him down, shut them down, shut Goff down. And Mason Rudolph did nothing exciting. But their defense, again, with Minka Fitzpatrick and Bush and company and Watt pressuring Goff all day and beating him up, they beat their ass. And they got the big pick late and won it, and they're now in the last playoff spot next to Buffalo.
Yeah, you know what? I think that what we've learned about the Rams this year, and especially yesterday, is when they play a really good defense, teams have figured it out from last year. They looked at all the tape last year of the offense scoring points, doing right. All that. They watched the Super Bowl of New England completely shutting them down, and all the good defenses around the league, like that Pittsburgh defense yesterday. Forget when they score 30-plus points against the Bengals in London. Nobody cares about that right. For the Rams. When they play good teams, like the Niners or like the Steelers yesterday, who are good on D, they have done nothing this year, and they're going to miss the playoffs.
Same with the Seattle.
They're not making the playoffs this year. The Rams are not. The Niners are too good. Seattle's better than them, too. They're not going to make the playoffs this
year. So they're not going to get a wild card.
Oh, I don't even think they're going to get a wild card. NFC's too strong this year. They're not going to get in.
So I have to tell you, and the Chiefs lost to the Titans. That made me sick to my stomach.
That was painful, too. They get 446 yards and 3 touchdowns from this guy. Can you stop somebody?
Their defense is pathetic.
Derrick Henry just ran for another 20 yards.
Yeah, he's still running.
Jeez.
He just robbed a bank. They're not making the playoffs either, that team. You know why? Because the Raiders are going to catch him.
The one huge touchdown run he had, they had 8 guys in the box, and he still ran right through them.
I have to tell you, the game that really upset me the most, and I know you don't agree with me on this, Carver High, but I got to tell you, I will never agree with anyone, you or anyone, that wasn't a fumble. That was a fumble. That was a handoff is what that was. That was not a pass. That was a handoff. That was a little shovel. That's a handoff. That's a running play. That's not a pass. That's a running play. They fumbled. The Bills recovered and scored a touchdown. Game over. Instead, the minute it happened, I texted you and I said, watch, they'll lose now. Guaranteed. And you knew they would.
Well, they didn't deserve to win the game. They did not. You're a team. You're 6-2. People think that You know, you want people to give you respect. You want people to start thinking that you're a team that matters in this league. You've beaten nobody so far. You go and play a team that has been awful for weeks and weeks and weeks. The coaching decisions are awful. They had a situation in the first half where the Browns had like 9 shots from the goal line, and they stopped them every single time. Kitchens calling dumb timeouts, and they still had the ball 2 minutes left, even after that call, which I know me and you disagree on it. The Bills call that play. A lot of teams run that pop pass now. Guys coming around on the sweep, and they kind of, and it's, you know, technically going forward. So it's
no way.
A pass.
When you're coming through the backfield from the line of scrimmage back to the quarterback, you cannot tell me that's not going back a yard or two.
Right, and I can't get on the defense here. I know that they let Cleveland come down the field and take the lead. They have been so good all year. They still gave up less than 20 points. You get the ball with 2 minutes left. Can you, for once, just? I know that they've gotten conservative. They don't
Quit
want the
playing
kid.
For the tie.
They don't want the kid to make mistakes. They had the ball at the Cleveland 35-yard line with a minute left, and they let 35 seconds run off the clock. They huddled.
What are you
huddled.
Doing?
Go for a touchdown and try to win the game. You're playing for a tie. That is a problem. They don't let the kid. I know that he can play hero ball. They've calmed it down. In that spot, let him go and try to win the game for
but
you.
But they didn't even think
they
of that.
They didn't even let him try to do that. It was awful and
Did
embarrassing.
Did anyone say that to him after the game?
Oh, yeah. And he says, well, you know, we gotta look at the film and work on that. You know, that's his answer for everything. Listen, I like the guy. He's been good for them the last 3 years. He's been better than the 12 jokers that were there before him since the late 90s. But he's got to find the right recipe with the offense. Because I'm waiting around. You look around this league. You got guys throwing for 446 yards. You got Lamar Jackson running all over the place. You've got offenses that score points. The Bills have a defense that is playoff caliber. They have a playoff
right.
caliber defense, and they have an offense that is stuck in the past.
I still think their defense is slipping a little against the run.
Well, the run is awful. They are awful against the run.
So
they're good against the pass. They're awful against
enough.
The run.
You got to stop the run, too.
They've been awful against the run, especially
now,
the last 3 weeks.
Now everyone knows you just pounded on them.
They're not making the playoffs, just so you know. They're not going to make the
Bills.
Playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, God. LSU beat Alabama in a wild game in Tuscaloosa. I got that game wrong. I had a good day Saturday, but I got that game wrong. I thought Alabama would win. They have the inside track now to the SEC title game and a playoff berth.
They do. They absolutely do. And they're going to probably play Georgia in the SEC title game. And what if you're an Alabama hater, like myself and a lot of people, if you don't want to see Alabama in the playoff again for the sixth or seventh year in a row, you need Georgia to beat LSU in that SEC title game. Because if they don't, and LSU runs the table and they're number one, Clemson runs the table number two, Ohio State runs the table, you know, if those three teams run the table, that fourth spot is going to be very tricky. And you know those people in that room, they're going to put Alabama with that one loss against LSU. They'll put them in over all those other
because
teams.
Because they lost them by 5.
Because they will do it. You need Georgia to beat LSU, and then you can't put Alabama in over LSU because LSU beat them. And if Georgia wins the SEC, they have to put them in. So you got to hope that happens. Or else
what about,
we're
but I have
there.
A feeling Georgia could lose this week to Auburn.
Well, if that happens, that's going to be the problem. You need LSU.
Because everyone thinks that's automatic. That's no fun going there.
You need LSU to win out and play Georgia undefeated in that SEC title
game. Do you give
game.
Auburn a shot against Georgia? I do.
Got to give him a shot.
Two other surprise unbeatens come away with impressive wins on Saturday. Minnesota knocks out Penn State. I hit that spread. And Baylor survives TCU in overtime. I hit that game. Will either or both teams get any respect with the big jump in the college football playoff rankings that come out tomorrow night? We'll get into that and everything else. We got a ton of stuff to talk about tonight. 855-212-4CBS and Pharrell and a bench. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Right now in the AFC, Pats are 1, Ravens 2, Texans 3, Chiefs 4, Bills 5, Steelers 6. The next 4 are Raiders, Colts, Titans, and Jags. And then in the NFC, it's San Francisco 1, and they're up 10-7 right now with the ball at their own 40 in the third quarter, 6.5 to go. Number one seed Niners. Number two Packers at 8-2. Three Saints at 7-2 with a dismal pick off a tip, and he's going to go hizzy. No, they're going to stop him at the 15.
They needed him to go hizzy because they haven't done anything on offense tonight.
Saints are third at 7-2. Looked terrible yesterday, sleepwalking against the Falcons. I hit the Falcons spread at least. And the Cowboys are four at 5-4 and a loss to the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I don't think they're making it either.
You really believe in them? The Cowboys?
I don't believe in them
at
all.
I think the Eagles are going to win that division.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Cowboys are phonies. And then five is Seattle. I believe in them. I think they'll make it.
I do too.
And they're 7-2, but we'll see what they do tonight if they can finish this game. And number six is the Vikings, and I think they're going to get in.
And that's why I think the squeeze is going to be on the Rams here, because the Niners and the Seahawks, both in their division, I think will finish with better records than them. And you have the Packers and the Vikings, both with really strong records in the North, and I don't think the Rams can catch either of them, are going to have a better record than either of them either.
Rams,
that's going to squeeze them out.
Rams, Eagles, and Panthers are 5-4, all of them. They're 7-8-9, and the 10th team would be the Bears at 4-5. Did they fumble it again?
They fumbled it, but luckily I think the lineman recovered, but they fumbled it backwards on the running play.
What is wrong with their offense tonight? I don't get it. Why are they having such problems? Are you telling me San Francisco's doing this to them? Like they can't even hold on to the football? That's not the Niners doing. That's their own doing. Hold on to the ball, bro. Honestly. You know, another guy that can't hold on to the ball is that Daniel Jones guy. He fumbles every week.
I mean, Adams ripped the ball right out of his hands for that touchdown yesterday.
His numbers are phenomenal. He's got, like, what did he have, like 400-some yards or something, four touchdowns, but he fumbles the ball and he throws picks. I don't know. I can't tell. I was out at a little party thing yesterday.
So you didn't go to the game?
I'm not. No way.
It was actually perfect weather for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to that game. Even if, literally, I told you, you'd have to...
Well, I knew you didn't go to the game when you started texting me about the Bills game, so I knew you didn't go to the game.
Yeah, I did not go to the game. I was watching all of the games at a bar with the some people, and all I know is that somebody asked me if I thought he was good, and I said, you know, I don't... Touchdown, what a catch. And that guy, what is that, their fullback? It's that backup, is that the fullback? Hollister? Anyway, I just said, I don't think he's that good. And I think it was probably not the smartest thing in the world to say, because he puts up huge numbers, right? Like, his numbers aren't bad, but he's not winning, and he fumbles the ball, and he throws picks. So I don't know. What do you think of him?
He's looking just like Eli right now. I mean, that's exactly what Eli's done for a lot of his career, just put up big numbers and then turn the ball over. And they actually said last night on the pregame for the Sunday Night Football game, when they showed the highlights of that one, they're like, you know, Daniel Jones silencing his critics, but putting up these big numbers. I'm like, silencing what critics? He's lost every one except the first game. He keeps turning the ball over. Why is he silencing his critics?
Yeah, they're losing every game. They couldn't beat the Jets.
Honestly, I'm looking at this way. He's showing you some things that can make you feel like you might have the guy.
A bright future.
And the thing that is...
Not bad for a rookie.
But here's the thing that's a problem for him. It's something that's correctable. You can teach him ball security. You can teach that. It's not like he's throwing the ball 10 feet over guys' heads or he's doing things like that. He's doing something that is...
Gotta hold on to the ball.
He's doing something that's correctable. And that's why, even though it's a disaster right now and he's fumbling the ball all over the place, it's something that, even if it's not this year, it's in the offseason, whatever it is, that's something that you can work on and you can get better at. So I think that from that standpoint,
but who works
he'll be
on
okay.
that? He's got to work on it.
Well, he's got to work on it, but he's got to get some, you know, coach him up, whatever you want to call it. Somebody's got to come in and say, listen, we got to work on this. You got to hold the ball this way, or you got to do things this way. Be more, you know what's going on around you in the pocket. If this, you see somebody's coming, hold on to it instead of holding it like a loaf of bread. He's just got to, it's a fixable problem, and I think that that's good for the Giants.
I couldn't even believe it. I told you Friday when two bad teams, you've heard this from me a million times, but I said when two bad teams play, it's always a good game, and that was a good game.
It was a great game.
It was a really good game.
Back and forth the whole way.
I won't deny it was a really good game.
Jets got out big. Then all of a sudden, the Giants came storming back and took the lead. Then the Jets had to come from behind and put up a bunch of points at the end.
It was pretty good.
It was. Not for either defense, but
I mean,
both young quarterbacks looked good at times.
Well, I don't know. That may have been the best game of the day. At the end of the day, those two, that was probably the best game of the day. The Browns-Bills game was
awful.
That was infuriating watching that game. I knew they were going to reverse that call, too. I was like, watch this. They're going to reverse it, and the Browns will win the game. And then Titans-Chiefs was pretty wild.
Well, another, you know, bad teams equals good game. Arizona-Tampa Bay was actually back and forth.
That was good.
And then, again, the refs show up and screw something up.
Dolphins-Colts was pretty good.
I thought the fourth quarter of the Packer-Panther game was
good. It was great. Of course, they got stopped at the 1 foot line.
But also, what were they doing going for two before that? Like, I didn't get that at all. I still can't figure that out.
Did you hear him trying to sell us that's the analytic way to do it?
Yeah, the analytic was over 50% that you get the two.
Whatever.
You got stopped at the goal line at the end anyway, so.
I guess the Steeler-Ram game was good and the Viking-Cowboy game was good, so there were some good games.
Steeler defense has really improved. I mean, look, I know that they've been good all year.
What were they, 0-3? Now they.
People thought the Steelers were dead when Roethlisberger was out for the year. Dead. And now they're sitting there. They are in the mix to get in the playoffs.
They're definitely involved. Like, they're like the Bills. Low-scoring games, defense wins.
14-12
type of game. And their offense is average at best. But, I mean, he's got good receivers. I don't think he's that good yet of a quarterback. He reminds me of a second-year guy that's struggling to find his way.
That'll be fun when those two defenses play each other in early December. Bills at Steelers, early December. Those two.
Oh, is that right? At
yeah.
Bills Steelers?
At Hines, yeah. The Bills will lose that game.
They're good like 9-16.
I don't know about that. That's a good game. I knew that stupid Cleveland -2.5 was fishy. I knew it. I was like, oh, my God, here we go. They're going to lose to that crappy team. And I'm telling you, the minute that call got reversed, I said, I'm out of here. I paid my bill. I left. I knew it. I just couldn't even sit there and watch it. I left before it happened because I knew they'd win. And then I also called the Titans win because I said they're up 5. And that's not enough. They kicked the field goal, you remember? And they, you know, they, instead of going for it or whatever, they kicked a field goal and they went up 5 or whatever it was, Kansas City. And I said they gave them the ball back with like 2-3 minutes left. I said, that's that. They'll lose that.
They tried
game.
To kick the field goal and they botched it. The snap was low and he just threw it away and they got the intentional grounding and turned it over. If they kicked the field goal, they would have been safe, but they screwed it up so bad and then got blocked on the last one.
Unbelievable. So, and then this game now is 14-10 as Seattle gets the beautiful catch in the end zone for a touchdown on a dangerous throw by Russell Wilson.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Everyone's catching on. Everybody's doing it. PharrellOnTheBench.com is taking over. Best site for picks, top shelf results, killer price, unequaled snags and football hoops, please. It's a slam dunk. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Hockey winners. Boxing, MMA, we're a knockout. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. College, again, 63% of my bets covered, 60% of my spreads covered. 11 weeks, all in the 60 percentile bracket every single week. That's crazy. Pros, 5 of the 10 weeks in the 70s. Yesterday was crap, but I'll get over it. It was a rough day with all those last-minute burns. Brad Gagneau is with Bleacher Report to talk about Pain Day. How you doing, Brad?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm hanging in. What do you think of this Seahawks job tonight in Santa Clara? They were getting their ass beat, and now all of a sudden they're up 21-10. They were down 10-0, weren't they?
Yeah, we keep wondering when the San Francisco 49ers team might kind of meet a moment that it isn't prepared for. Right? They haven't really been here and done this. You know, they got really on that roster that's, you know, had any playoff success, not that this is even to that extent yet, is Richard Sherman. And so they're just very unfamiliar with a big game and a big spotlight in prime time. And they're not responding too well, at least in the second half or ever since that strong start. So first time they faced some adversity this season. And you do wonder if, first of all, if they can't hang on here or come back here, how that might impact the way they approach the second half of the year. And all of a sudden, maybe the NFC becomes wide open again.
So they have all these games, Cardinals next, Packers after that, both at home. They have 3 in a row at home right now. Then they go to Baltimore, go to New Orleans. They have the Falcons and Rams at home and at Seattle to end the season on the 29th of December. Frankly, Brad, that schedule's brutal.
That's why this game is so critical. That's why you got to win at home. You know, when you're up against a Seahawks team that you probably are better than in terms of 1-53 on the roster, you got to go to Seattle later in the year. It's a heck of a lot harder there. That's you know, a potential flex game. Week 17 could decide the division. You got to position yourself right now to get as much separation from a team like Seattle that's got that experience. It's got a Super Bowl winning head coach, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the potential MVP at the quarterback position. And when you don't win games like this, and then as you just mentioned, you look at the schedule beyond this, you know, Arizona, not a walk in the park, but likely a win. Green Bay, at least you're at home, but then it's in Baltimore. The Ravens are a top three team in the NFL right now. It's in New Orleans, which, you know, they're likely to be underdogs for. And then, you know, you mentioned the Rams and then the Seahawks to finish the year after a potential, you know, victory at home against Atlanta. There aren't many gimmies, you know, arguably Arizona and Atlanta, but even those could be tough. You're still running into Matt Ryan. You're still running into Kyler Murray. It's going to be real difficult for them because, again, they kind of feel like the 2017 Rams or the 2018 Bears, those teams that were emerging but weren't quite ready for the spotlight yet. And we saw, you know, L.A. go one and done in the playoffs 2 years ago under those circumstances. Chicago, same deal last year. You wonder if this is the exact same scenario with this 49ers team and that they need to go through somewhat of a rite of passage with, you know, kind of some growing pains before they're ready to take that big next step in 2020.
Brad, I got to ask you. So I know you don't care, maybe you do, but the bettors, I thought the bettors got shafted yesterday on that Lions last minute Stafford pullout. You know, what is the NFL investigating him for that they never released his health status? Or, you know, obviously there's a lot of people upset about it. I know the Lions don't care. They will when the NFL finds them, if they find them. What did you think of that? The last minute they pulled him, but they knew he wasn't going to play. Why did they wait so long?
Well, Stafford had apparently told others around the team on Saturday that he wasn't going to play. And so this is just another sign that things aren't quite right in Detroit. You know, whether it be trading a starting defensive back when you're apparently a contender, or the way they've seemed to irk Darius Slay, their best defensive back left on the roster. Matt Patricia, a guy who, you know, sent his team out to practice in the snow when they had no outdoor games scheduled and playing a dome last year. They make some weird decisions, and this might have been the worst one yet. You're right, it matters in terms of betting. You know, obviously that's a huge part of the NFL makeup, the dynamics and the fan dynamics within this league. And there's, you know, it also raises questions as to interest, as to, you know, the potential shady factor, even if that wasn't the intention of Patricia here. When you don't have honesty in terms of the injury report, and at least integrity in terms of the injury report, and the speed at which you report when a player is ruled out, it's going to raise questions. And now that gambling is illegal in, you know, more than, you know, about a dozen plus states throughout the United States, that's a problem. And it's just one more step toward the NFL eventually, you know, inevitably, it feels like at this point, having to be before Congress to answer to essentially the U.S. government regarding their approach to regulate and to ensure that everything is above board in terms of the gambling industry. This could be one more step toward that. And you're right, the Lions will likely pay the price as a result.
They have to tell fans and bettors when a guy's not playing, and they wait till 5 minutes before the game. And then I was sitting there on social media telling people run away from that game because Jeff Driscoll, Christ, my wife could have played better than him. I don't care what anybody says. Honestly, it was atrocious watching him. And let me ask you this question. Brad Gagne with us from Bleacher. What do you think of the Browns? Not that they won that game because the refs handed it to him after that fumble, which is what it was. I'm not going to listen to it. It was a pass. That was a shovel fumble on a handoff, which would have been a run, and he came back 2 yards to get it from the line of scrimmage. So I knew they'd win the game after that crappy reversal. And then the question is, do you think they can handle the Steelers' defense on Thursday night? The game's in Cleveland.
No, I mean, this is the worst possible scenario for Cleveland in terms of trying to follow up a win that might be a chance for them to turn a corner. I think the Steelers' defense is as good as San Francisco's or New England's. Those are the two defenses that get the most credit right now. But you look at the way the Steelers take the ball away. I mean, 4 takeaways against the Rams, 4 2 weeks before that against Miami. They've had at least 3 takeaways in every single game dating back to September, and they had 5 against San Francisco in the penultimate game of that month as well. They have been the most opportunistic defense in the NFL after a bit of a slow start when they struggled there against New England and Seattle in those first 2 weeks of the season. This is an entirely different team. Of course, Minkah Fitzpatrick might be a defensive player of the year candidate after they traded for him. Obviously, they've gotten even more production out of Devin Bush at the linebacker position as a rookie as he continues to emerge. And TJ Watt looks like also a guy who could be a future defensive player of the year playing his best football. So all three levels of the defense, just fantastic. They take the ball away, and Cleveland is maybe the most mistake-prone offense in the NFL, at least right there with the Jets and Giants in that respect. So I don't trust Freddie Kitchens' offense or Baker Mayfield or any of the Cleveland Browns on short rest against that Steelers defense. I just think it's an awful matchup.
And I got to tell you that Minkah Fitzpatrick's been unbelievable since they got him in that deal. The guy's just coming up huge.
Yeah, and we were, a lot of us, where I was, I'll admit it, I was criticizing the Steelers. I thought, man, you just gave the Dolphins like a top five, maybe a top 10 at worst pick for a guy who hasn't really panned out thus far and, you know, was a middle first round pick essentially. And man, do they look genius for the move that they, I mean, now that's beginning to look like it might be a bottom half of the first round pick, the way Pittsburgh's playing, and the schedule gives them an opportunity in the weak AFC to potentially win 8 or 9 games and even get into the playoffs. At which point you're looking at a bottom half first round pick for Miami for a guy who's playing like, you know, like a, again, like a Pro Bowler, like an all pro. And he's only in his second year. He's only 23 years old. So, yeah, again, right away, you shouldn't judge trades. We probably shouldn't judge them, you know, 7-8 games in either. But we've got a heck of a lot more feel for it right now than we did 2 months ago or a month and a half ago when it went down. And it's beginning to look like a stroke of genius for the Steelers, who are somehow, some way, just hanging in, despite the fact that the offense isn't very good at all.
I think he's been, actually, in my opinion, the best D-back in the NFL in the last, whatever, 4 or 5 weeks, without a doubt. I mean, he's been scoring touchdowns, picks-offs, you know, done everything, taking pickoffs to the house, scoring touchdowns, making big game-ending picks. I mean, the guy's, he's stood out like no other. I have to ask you, Brad, I think the Kansas City defense sucks.
Yeah. Well, a question or statement, either way, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I want you to elaborate on what their problem is.
Yeah, no, it's a problem. It's a big problem in terms of their ability to stop the run, in terms of their ability to stop, to not give up big plays. One other thing is you can mask those issues when you get takeaways. And the Steelers, that's kind of the Steelers' MO to an extent. Like, they're not perfect on that side of the ball. They still give up the odd big play. They can still be had, but they get so many takeaways that they compensate for those, you know, the odd deficiency. This team doesn't do that either. They've got only 2 takeaways in their last 4 games on that side of the ball. They've given up 23-plus points in 3 consecutive games, now 31 2 weeks before that. The only real strong defensive game they've had practically all season was that Thursday nighter against Denver. It's just ugly. And you throw in the injuries, you throw in that Mahomes, as much as he was very good in his return, hasn't been himself because he's been less than 100%. It just doesn't feel like the Chiefs' year. They made a lot of changes on that side of the ball in the offseason, but it sort of felt like they were just running on a treadmill. Like, they, you know, you lose one guy, you bring in another guy that sort of feels similar. D Ford out the door, Justin Houston out the door. I think they missed both of those guys. And, you know, they really haven't had the production that they would have liked. They would have had a Frank Clark, who they paid big money for. So it just hasn't panned out for them this season. And it's pretty obvious at this point that Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator, who essentially, became the scapegoat for their problems last year, wasn't the entirety of the problem.
What was the feeling that you had on the hit on Rodgers in the end zone? Because I thought that that was an absolute BS call. It was pathetic. And, of course, then everybody turned it into a national story that he caught the flag in the air, which is also ridiculous. Who cares? All I know is that was a crappy call. I don't care what you say. And they got lucky. I mean, as usual, they're getting all the house calls.
Yeah, and this, well, it's just another example of this league being overly over-officiated. And it's going to get to a point that, you know, as much as we talk about the gambling and people are obsessed with this league and they're not leaving it behind regardless of what direction it heads in, I think people are getting really tired of the penalties in this league, and especially the penalties pertaining to hits on the quarterback. And, yeah, again, we're not at that breaking point yet, but this has been the most penalized season in NFL history in terms of yardage. And we're going to reach a point eventually where these hits just become so ridiculous in terms of the flags that they're drawing that folks are going to start to turn away, because they're going to say, like, I just don't trust that a game's going to be officiated to an effective enough extent for me to trust the outcome, or for me to feel like it's worth my money as a bettor, or worth my money as a season ticket holder, or someone tuning into the NFL Red Zone on a Sunday. So I think it's a big problem for the league. I think they need to find a way to rein in the officiating, but it's very difficult because they've gone in one direction entirely in terms of player protection, and in particular, quarterback protection.
I got 1 minute, respectfully. What do you think of Jameis Winston? Do you think Arians and the Buccaneers are going to give him a new contract?
I think they are. I think it would be a tremendous mistake, but I do think they're going to do it. I think that they've developed something there where Arians believes he can, whether it's hubris or not, get something out of the guy. He still turns the ball over far too much, of course, 14 interceptions this season. He's far too inconsistent. And the quarterback carousel could be spinning next offseason. Like, there could be a lot of guys available that are better than Jameis Winston. But the way Arians is talking about him, he says there's a really good chance he could land a new contract. That was his quote from today. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he lands a deal there beyond just a franchise tag, you know, prove it deal with Tampa Bay.
Great stuff tonight, Brad. The Niners just got a strip fumble off of Wilson. The lineman recovered. Then he fumbled. The Niners picked it up, scored, then had a 2-point conversion. We got a game now, 21-18, Seattle in the fourth. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother.
Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Brad Gagneau, a Bleacher Report with us. 855-212-4CBS. What is this lineman thinking, Carver High, after he recovers the fumble? What was he going to do, take off running all 360 pounds of him?
I have no idea what he was doing. He should have just went to the ground. He starts trying to run with the ball.
What are you doing, bro?
Big mistake.
What are you doing, you moron? And then he fumbles, and they score a touchdown. They just gave the game away. I mean, I think they're going to lose this game now. Seattle hasn't really moved the ball all night. They got lucky. They got a pick. They got down to the 10. They got to the 1. They scored. But the bottom line is, all night they've struggled to move it. Now the Niners have all the momentum. 12 minutes left. All they need to do is get the ball and score.
And the hard part is that they let the Niner defense get a touchdown, whereas I don't think that this 49er offense was built to come back from down 2 scores. And now you've given them a field goal game here. It's anybody's game again.
It really is. It's unbelievable. They just gift-wrapped that game to San Francisco. We'll see what they do now. That was a terrible, terrible error. And this lineman picked it up, tried to start running. He fumbled. How pathetic was that guy? What are you doing, you idiot? Seriously, you got to be an idiot. I don't even know who the guy is. But Ofetti wasn't ready.